Andrew Sharp joins us now, NBA writer, Sports Illustrated. Hey, Andrew, I thought Blue Monday, yeah, like we were supposed to be moving beyond that. I thought everybody's supposed to be cheery now. This is going through almost the entire NBA, this animus, this the potential fights.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of a trend. I like it, though. Spice up the middle of the season. I mean, these are sort of the dog days of the season. Everyone's kind of waiting for All-Star break. So add a little drama to the mix. I like it. And I also, I mean, maybe it's a hot take, but I have trouble betting against Kyle Lowry in any kind of fight. I understand
that even giving up
a foot
has
to reach. Yeah, I know. But look, Kyle Lowry is a tough dude. Yeah, he's got the age advantage. He's scrappy. I don't know. I think he would pull out all the stops in a fight.
I feel like it's not great to have like back and wrist problems as you're about to get into a fight and give up a foot and weight and reach and age. Yeah, like it's just like seems like that would be. I think you'd probably be getting Kyle Lowry plus like 700 if this was an open betting line.
It's probably like Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, it would. You'd be in the McGregor camp. Like you'd be like, I think he can do it because I just believe in him. I believe in his toughness. This could happen. I'm going to ignore all the facts and just go on heart. Heart will get this
done.
Yeah,
man.
Hey, so.
Well, look, the other thing is Ben Simmons probably hasn't been in many fights, and I think that is a disadvantage when you start to really break it
down.
Good point. But so it goes.
He also looked a little rattled in the post game. Like, I feel like Kyle Lowry's about that life, and Ben Simmons was like, I don't play. He's like, you protest a little too much here. Like, you look rattled
yeah,
by this.
Exactly.
Like, I would bet on this. Like, if there was one guy to show up, like, I know it was Kyle Lowry that showed up, that's where I would have put the wager as well. Like, mm-hmm. It would have been like, oh, one of these guys is going to ghost out in the tunnel. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to bet that Ben Simmons doesn't show up. Okay, but
All right.
We want to get to a bunch of more serious things. I do have to look at this, though, and wonder, like, is this just a blip? Like, what's happening here? Because, yeah, Aaron Aufalo took an ugly punch. But, I mean, if that thing lands, he's a pretty powerful guy. He's a professional athlete. Like, what's Aufalo? 6'5"? Like, it's a pretty big dude. He lands that on you. That's not going to feel very good. We had the Mirotić skirmish. Like, he got his face broken earlier in the season. I know that's like a practice thing. That's more of a one-off. But the Raptors, like Serge Ibaka is getting into guys. Kyle Lowry's mm-hmm. trying to meet guys in the tunnel. Like, it's just lately it feels like this is more of a thing. Like, do you have any theory on this? Or is this just completely just random that this has happened altogether? And the Rockets.
I don't know if there's really a unifying theory of what's going on. I do remember that the James Johnson Ibaka thing, I think it was like a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely... There have been a handful of incidents over the last few weeks, and I will be really interested to see how the NBA handles it because we are in a time of relative peace and certainly prosperity for the league, and I don't think anybody wants to screw it up. So I wouldn't be surprised if the league comes out harder on some of these recent incidents just because... Like, it's really funny on social media, yeah. And a lot of people say it's good for the league, but I think the NBA is going to want to be very careful to not cross any lines and screw up what has been a really successful couple-year run they've had. And so I think it wouldn't surprise me, particularly with the Rockets thing, because that was such a high-profile incident, it would not surprise me if they came out harder than I think some people may expect.
Well, yeah, this is the same league that had Kermit Washington, it had the Malice at the Palace.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, we're joking around because we don't actually think anybody's going to throw a punch because there's so many millions of dollars at stake. It's not out of the realm of possibility that somebody does actually throw one. And once you get punched in the mouth, we know all bets are off at that point. And yeah, like that's how many years of bad press did the NBA have because of the Ron Artest melee? Like, plenty. We're still talking about it,
well,
right?
Well, and not to mention that this is all fun and games until, like I said, we have another Kermit Washington incident in our hands where, like, someone huge lands one of these punches flush and breaks somebody's face.
Totally. Well, and also the Rockets thing, which was incredible and hilarious, but had that actually ended in a brawl in the locker room afterwards, I mean, that would have been a disaster for the league. So they really have to be careful here. Guys are sort of inching up closer and closer to the line, and I think ultimately it's going to be just sort of a three-week blip as we look back, but it's still it's something to watch.
Well, I would also say, Andrew, that, yeah, while... The NBA is in a relative time of peace. I feel like more than we even realized the first half of the season, it's going to be a romp to the Larry O'Brien Trophy for the Golden State Warriors. So it's kind of nice that we have other things to talk about.
Yeah, it wasn't very fun that people were writing articles like, the Warriors-Cavaliers rivalry is dead. And I'm like, yeah, I agree, because I'm watching that game and I've never checked my phone so many times in a matchup between those two teams in the last four seasons. Like, I was just kind of checking back in. I was like, all right, still a game. And then, oh yeah, Warriors mess around and they just dummy the Cavs in the fourth quarter. Like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough because there's so much talent on the court when those teams play. So you feel a little bit guilty saying you're not interested. But at least that's where I've been. The last couple matchups with them, I think one of the problems for me is that Golden State doesn't even have to play particularly well, and they still sort of have control throughout the game because they have so many matchup advantages against that particular Cavs roster. That it's just they can kind of be at a B-plus level the whole game, and by the end of it, the Cavs don't have enough energy to guard them all over the floor. And so it becomes repetitive. Once you spot the pattern, it's hard to get super excited. But like you guys said, I mean, there are so many other stories around the league that are weird and funny and interesting that we're in a good spot.
Yeah, but let's stay on the Cavs for a second here.
Because we
all saw that game. We've all seen the way the Cavs have played recently, and they were bad last year too. And they got beaten five games, although, man, game three, Kevin Durant doesn't go off at the end and it's going at least six, and we're having probably a different discussion about how close those two teams are. But it feels like nobody's going to tell you the Cavs are better in 2018 than they were in 2017, and it seems like the Warriors are just as good, if not better. So the gulf is growing. That being said, I can't help but think if you're the Cavs, you're still, like, even though it's probably not possible to get to where the Warriors are, because that's maybe the greatest team we'll ever see in the history of this league, if you're the Cavs, you still have to push your chips all into the middle of the table come the trade deadline, in my opinion. Where are you on that?
I'm in wait-and-see mode with that, because I really think it's going to depend in part on who's available, because I think they would push their chips in if the Thunder continues struggling and Paul George is on the table. I think they would definitely think hard about it if the Pelicans put DeMarcus Cousins on the table. But I don't know if they're going to push their chips in if it's like Tyreke Evans or DeAndre Jordan. I don't think they're, and the chip being that Nets pick next June, mm-hmm. I don't think that they're going to do that because they really don't know what LeBron's going to do. And I know that there are people within that organization who are committed to keeping that pick regardless as sort of LeBron insurance. And basically, there are really only one or two guys available who could potentially narrow the gap with Golden State. So while I think they're definitely committed to going all in, that option may not be there by the time we get to the deadline.
My only case against that would be like, okay, say you trade the Brooklyn pick and LeBron leaves. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. crap, we went all in. It's like you're going to be bad next year. Like you're going to be bad the following year. You'll probably be in the lottery with your own pick. So you've probably set your rebuild back one player, one lottery player by 1 year. Like the Cavaliers have done this before. Like they've tried to do this before. And now more so than ever, I think that fan bases are prepared for we're rebuilding now. Like we're tanking and we're bad and we're going to try to get somebody through the draft. And I think the fan base would probably understand a little bit more that, like, hey, listen, we lost this first round pick because we wanted to go all in when we had LeBron James here, and we were trying to convince him and give him a sign of our show of faith that, hey, like, we're going to do whatever it is that we can do to keep you here and to win while you're here, and this is our best shot of doing it, is to move off of this piece. And like, even to say that's for a, I don't know, I've seen Kemba Walker's name in trade rumors or Marc Gasol. And yeah, it has to be someone that's pretty decent. Like, you're not going to move this pick for, you know, like a bench player. Like, they've already got enough one-way guys. But I think that if you can go out and get somebody who's an all-star or a fringe all-star that becomes available from one of these bad teams, like, it's hard for me to look at it and say that it's not your best play from, like, a multiple different angles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you 100%. If the right guy is available, I would put that pick in the mix. As a basketball fan, I almost feel like we should all sort of band together and root for OKC to sort of go into a little bit of a tailspin, enough so that they start thinking about the Paul George thing, because Paul George is the piece that could really make it interesting with the Warriors. Beyond that, I just, like, you know, Marc Gasol is very solid, but I'm not sure he can keep up with them on the perimeter, and DeAndre Jordan has the same limitations. So, I don't know, but let's put all our eggs in the Paul George bucket, and maybe we'll get lucky.
Yeah, and you know Sam Presti loves his picks.
Exactly. It makes sense on OKC's side. That would be my take for them.
Oh, definitely makes sense on OKC's side. The
Even
only problem
if they're
is,
in a playoff spot, like it might make sense.
Yeah, I think it was fun liking OKC for a couple of weeks there, over the Christmas break, where it was like, oh, wow, like OKC, maybe they figured it out. And it's like, probably like this. The ceiling on this team is pretty apparent, and that maybe there's some people that are recanting their Russ vote. Wait, weren't you a Team Russ MVP guy?
I was a Russ MVP guy. I would just say that this is a different season of Russ.
Okay, last
year.
All right, that's fine. Justify it how you will.
Last year was lightning in a bottle for him. It was a different thing, and I think this year we're beginning to see his limitations more clearly.
When you watch Victor, how long of Victor Oladipo did until you were like, oh, maybe this is like a this like, and then they tried to push the oh no, it's because he reinvented his body. It has nothing to do with the fact that he was playing with Russell Westbrook last year. This guy was trash before. Like now he's instantly good. So let's get to some Raptor stuff, because I was actually listening to your guys' podcast it was probably less than a week ago, and the DeMar DeRozan thing came up yet again, and I know that you are not part of those player rankings, but it has been like a constant joke here in Toronto, and I'm sure that every time DeMar DeRozan has a good game that or he shoots some threes that Ben Golliver's mentions, just like they go bananas, and he gets it from Raptors fans. And I thought that your part in the podcast was funny, that you were really lighthearted about it, but like he seems legitimately triggered about this. Like I don't even think we're going to be able to get him on our shows in Toronto. Like his he would not bend at all about what his ranking was or how he feels about DeMar DeRozan. He was just like, no, I'm right, and this is why I'm right, and I refuse to bend, and I'm sick of Toronto fans.
Yeah, well, and I respect it in a sense, because I think oftentimes what happens in sports is a prediction will look wrong and guys will get harassed online and they'll move off the prediction only to come back like 3 or 4 months later and find out that they were originally right. So Ben is sticking to his DeRozan skepticism, sticking to sort of a wait-and-see attitude in terms of how long this will last, this new style that DeRozan has played, and whether he will sort of revert back to some of his limitations in big moments against the best teams in the league, which I think is fair. I mean, I'm curious to see how much of this can be sustained for the Raptors in the playoffs. But the one thing, I mean, I just think that DeRozan is so valuable to what Toronto is doing, and I think where some of the internet arguments get lost is to say, like, if you were building a title team to go beat the Warriors, DeRozan is not as valuable as Middleton. And that is true if you have two or three other superstars and you need, like, a complementary piece. But I think, you know, DeRozan is unbelievable if you're looking to have a good team that is going to win 50-plus games every year. And, there are limits to his game if you're trying to win 60 games. But I think he kind of takes an unfair amount of heat because he's not a perfect player. But he's still, like, if he's not an A, he's an A-minus. And he deserves a lot of credit for how basically, if there's one thing he deserves credit for, it's that he's gotten incrementally better every year over the last 4 or 5 years, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think it is, and I would say that in listening to the podcast, the point Ben made that I thought was really salient was the idea that people said that he was proving doubters wrong, and it's like, no, he has adapted his game to the places that people always wanted him to go to, and that the three-point shooting especially is still a very small sample size. And
last 8.
Yeah, exactly. You see the last 2 games, he's bricked 8 threes in a row, and it's like, yeah, okay, like, this is still going to be a bit of an ebb and flow. I would say this, though, is that where do you weigh in then when it comes to the discussion of where he would stack up in the MVP race? And it's a weird one this year, and I know we're very early to be talking about this, but like Kawhi Leonard now is back on the shelf. Like
he's done.
Yeah, well, he was never even in it, but You wonder how many games that Harden could miss, or if Steph Curry enters another injury. Like, some of the usual suspects, like we mentioned, Russ is like 0% chance. He's got to run the table from here on out for right. him to even get a sniff of the vote. Like, it feels like a LeBron year. It feels like it's going to be Harden. But I think it's interesting looking at some of those guys underneath and being like, okay, well, where do you weigh in on Butler and Giannis? And DeRozan, I feel like, is kind of there. Like, he's got to be somewhere around, like, the, I would say, like, 5-6 range. Like, do you get that sense as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think DeRozan definitely belongs in the mix right now, and we're in a really interesting spot, because if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said I would bet any amount of money on LeBron winning it because of the way the Cavs turned their season around and how limited their roster has been in certain places and the way that LeBron can kind of cover up all those weaknesses. But now, I mean, I don't know, because the Cavs are struggling again, and if that continues for another month or so and they really sort of hit a swoon here in the middle of the year, the door opens for guys like Jimmy Butler and DeMar DeRozan. And I think you're going to see we'll have to wait and see what happens with the Warriors, because Steph Curry is obviously always phenomenal. And then I'd also say that Kevin Durant is phenomenal, but they may split their vote. And so Jimmy Butler deserves a lot of love, and DeMar, if the Raptors continue winning like this, you can't deny that he belongs in that top five mix.
If he's in a top five position at the end of the year, there is no justification for him being in the 40s on this list that your publication comes out with next year. Right? Like, come on, we're done with this.
Yeah. I don't make the list. So
how many times have you said that on Twitter or like to people or thought that?
I didn't make the list. I have nothing to do with it. All right.
So many times.
You know what? Maybe you should.
Times.
Maybe you should have something to do with the list going forward. Like, yes, maybe this is your number one case now for why Andrew Sharpe should be a part of the list.
Yeah, I'll try to get in the mix next year. Look, I would put DeMar DeRozan firmly in the top 20, maybe close to the top 15 after what he's done this year, just for the record.
Oh, Raptors fans just soak that up. They just love that. They're like, oh, it's like a blanket. Like, now, like, some people listening to the show can now sleep. Yeah. It's going to be good.
Even though he's cratering over his last 8 from 3, and yeah, the Raptors have lost 3 or 4, but no big deal. Andrew, thanks for this, pal.
Always fun, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, hopefully talk to you guys soon.